Hey guys, welcome back. It's me again. Yes, this is Stephanie Oki, and today I'm going to talk about fibroids and my experience with fibroids and the removal of my fibroids. I had also mentioned this too in one of my previous podcasts. Please go back and listen to my podcasts, especially from this year. I literally just started podcasting again after a whole 1 year's break. I was having a lot of issues with my health and, you know, a real breakdown, and I even went back and listened to my last podcasts before now, and I'm not gonna delete them. I will leave them there, but the nature of those podcasts really made me know that I was not in a normal place of mind. And so now I'm back again, and I'm doing this, and I'm just so excited to be back with you guys. And I don't even, you know, I just really did miss podcasting, and I'm just happy to be back here again where I can talk and literally talk to my friends that I don't know. Anyway, so right, my experience with fibroids. I know I did talk about this on my YouTube channel, which is now a soap making channel, and a lot of people, it's funny, it was the last video I expected people to love. It's about my fibroids. So this is very, very targeted at women. So if you're a man listening, I think this is the point where you're probably going to go off and say, well, this is not for me. Anyway, so I was so surprised at the amount of people that were inspired by my video that I literally just did, just because I just really wanted to document my experience in pregnancy with fibroids and how bad they were. So if you're interested in that, I'm going to leave a link to that video in the description of this podcast, so you can probably click on it, go on YouTube and watch it. Right, so now let me just talk about, let me come back to the more recent times and talk about how the fibroids affected me after pregnancy here in this podcast. And when I had my baby, I breastfed for a long time, you know. In fact, I'm still trying to kind of wean myself off breastfeeding. I just have not been able to. I think I'm going on, you know, another topic, but maybe I will even talk about that in another podcast. But yeah, anyway, basically breastfeeding held my period up for a very long time. So I didn't get a period until a year and a half after having my baby. So I didn't get any periods, and while I didn't get any periods, everything was okay, life was normal, everything was fine. But then my period started again in September of 2020. Yes, September of 2020. And my period started again. And now, if you have watched that video and if you know certain things, if you listen to my podcast as well, you would know that I had fibroids that grew really large during pregnancy. And so I had like two large fibroids in my uterus that literally made my uterus remain at the size of like a 5 or 6 month pregnancy. So I wasn't pregnant, but I had a stomach that looked like I was pregnant. Well, not that huge though, because I'm small, but you know what I mean. It looked like the size of a 5 month uterus, and that's what they said in every scan that I went for. So my periods started and they were heavy, but the thing is, I couldn't really tell if they were heavier than before, because the truth is, before I got pregnant, I always had very, very heavy flow. And in fact, it was something that took me to the hospital multiple times. You know, I was always anemic. I would go there complaining that my periods were heavy. And this was back in Nigeria, and I'm not even going to sugarcoat this. They did nothing to help me. That's just the truth. I'm not even going to try to say, oh, they did their best. Actually, no, they didn't do their best. They did nothing to help my situation with the heavy bleeding. And so, you know, because they would just tell me, well, just go and live with it. Just live with the fibroids, you know, until you have a baby. But then I was very anemic, and they didn't seem to consider that, right? Because I think somebody should not be that anemic. Like, my periods were so heavy. So heavy. I couldn't go out on the heavy days of my period. And whenever I called in sick at work, again in Nigeria, they would almost act like, am I the only woman to have a menses? And you know, women were like the most unsympathetic to other women. And so they would be like, you know, are you the only one to have periods? Why do you want to take the day off? They just didn't understand that on my two heavy days, I literally had to change my pads every 15 to 30 minutes. That's just not feasible. Like, I mean, I cannot even drive to work without getting stained. You know, I would have to change at some point inside the car before even getting to work. And so I could not. I literally could not, you know. So my life was just very, very hard. I'm not gonna lie, because now it's just so different. But let's just keep going. I want to take this in little detail so you would understand. So when my periods came back and they were heavy, I thought it was, well, the same thing again. But you know, this time it was different, because every time I had my period on the heavy days, I remember I would wake up in the middle of the night as usual, run, like not walk, run to the bathroom before it poured. You know, because when you're sleeping, what happens when you're sleeping is you're at an angle, you're lying at an angle that doesn't allow the blood flow out naturally with gravity, right? And so it somehow stores back. And so when you stand up, it literally gushes out. And with the way my... Oh, Lord, talking about this is just so... Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is really, really graphic for you guys, but I feel like, well, I've already told the men to get off if this is going to be too much for them. And so if you're a woman listening to this, I believe that you're somebody who really is concerned about this. So I would stand up and it would pour. And it would pour like a full cup of blood or even more would pour with lots of blood clots. So I literally had to somehow hold my vagina while running, like dashing to the toilet to just quickly sit down. And then once I sat down, it would just pour. Sometimes it would even pour before getting there. But, you know, most of the I think I even mastered how to run to the toilet and do everything real fast. Anyway, sorry about the graphic details, but hey. So, whenever I got to the toilet, I'd wait there, it would pour out, then I would stand up, clean up, and then wash my hands, right? And then while washing my hands, I would start to feel, don't know if it was the warm water, I really don't know what it was, but either way, whether the water was warm or cold, I knew that feeling was wrong. I would be washing my hands, then I would feel like I'm fainting. And so I would quickly, you know, when you quickly stop washing your hands, like you still kind of have soapy hands, but you just have to quickly stop. And then I'll just run back to the bed, you know, real quickly and fall down on the bed. Because I knew I was falling, but I didn't want to fall on the floor. So I would actually fall. I wouldn't just sit on the bed. I would fall on the bed, right? And lay there helpless for about 5 to 10 minutes. Nobody, again, you know, I always say this, nobody was helping me. Nobody really cared how I felt. So I would just lay there helpless for 5 to 10 minutes. Then I would gather some strength and stand up again. This happened twice, meaning like the 2 days, the two heavy days. It happened all the time I had my period on the two heavy days. So the two heavy days where my period would start, it would be light until about 12 hours later, then it would be heavy for the next 48 hours, then it would come down and it would just be back to normal till the end. So that's how it was. So those 2 days of heavy, when I had this fainting attack happening. It didn't really quite happen in September. I knew I felt tired in September, but it didn't happen. But it happened in October, it happened in November, it happened in December, it happened in January, it happened in February. And every month it felt worse and kept getting worse, and I just kept feeling worse every month. And then by February, it was my child's birthday. And there's something about being a mother that gives you strength. And I still gathered the strength to do everything I could for my child. But then I started to say to myself that, you know, look, what's happening to you is not normal. You cannot just faint. You cannot afford to actually, because when you fall down, it's like you're fainting. So I said to myself, I cannot afford to faint because I'm literally the only one who does everything for my child. Well, in the sense that, like, I was literally that primary caregiver to that child, you know, doing everything, bathing the child, feeding the child, making sure the child gets medications, making sure the child is healthy, making sure the child is playing in the right way. You know, I literally do everything. I'm like, okay, who's going to do it for me if something happens to me? And even at that, I don't think there's anybody that wants to die, whether or not you have a child. And so I said to myself, nah, it's about time to take myself to the hospital. And so I got up one day and called the hospital and booked an appointment for a general health check, actually. It wasn't even for that. And then I went there and then I told the lady that, you know, it was a nurse practitioner. And I let her know that, look, something's always happening to me that I feel I should let you know. Like, I always feel like I'm fainting. And then she said, okay, they're going to do a blood work and blah, blah, blah. And so she did the blood work and then they checked. And then they saw that I was extremely anemic. I use that word loosely. I mean it. Extremely. Extremely. Meaning that by the time when she called me back, and said, look, we think you might need a blood transfusion. You know, like, this is pretty serious. You know, she didn't want to scare me, but she also wanted me to know that this is serious, you know? And so she said, oh, I might need a blood transfusion and I should start taking iron, like literally triple the dose of iron I was taking. You know, they gave me, literally just did some things. Okay, I started doing that. I started taking the iron, started trying my best. And then went back for another blood work and she said, well, it's still very low. Anyway, by then she had already referred me to a gynecologist because, of course, I also mentioned to her about the fibroids. So she referred me to a gynecologist and everything. And so I went to see the gynecologist. And when the gynecologist saw me, I actually really love the gynecologist. He's such a good doctor. He just quickly said to me, look, you are in a bad state. And he just literally, I owe it to that man to say that he changed my life right now in the year 2021. And it's so funny, he probably doesn't even know how much he's changed my life because he made me a healthy person again. I was in such a bad state. So he did this thing where, so I want to tell you guys all the experience. And again, disclaimer, this is not medical advice to anybody. Always see your own doctor, always get advice from your doctor. But what he did was he immediately said to me that he had to obviously have a surgery done to get that those fibroids out because clearly with the size of those fibroids, I probably could not even have another child if I wanted to. And he asked me, do you want to? And I said, yes, at some point I would like to have another child. He said, well, you know, they're quite big. Number two, they're causing anemia. Really, really bad anemia. So, you know, we do need to do something about it. And so he placed me on pills to kind of control my bleeding, right? And literally just, you know, he literally controlled my bleeding and that really, really, really helped. And then the reason he did that was so that he could get my blood level to at least come back to a good enough level for somebody who's going to be having a surgery, right? Because with surgeries, there's a high risk of bleeding. And if there's a risk of bleeding, I mean, it's not an emergency surgery, so they at least need to get me to a state where I have enough blood if I'm going to lose blood, right? And so he had to do that put me on prenatal multivitamins again so that I could kind of build back my hemoglobin and everything. And so I was taking that. I was taking the pills to stop my periods and, you know, just literally get me back. And then I was given an iron infusion, through my veins, because maybe my body wasn't absorbing the iron I was taking or something. I don't know. But yeah, so that's what was done. And then I started to feel slightly better already even. And then by the time it was time for the surgery, my blood level was way better than what it was when I went into the hospital. And I definitely felt stronger at that time. But guess what? Even though I felt stronger at that time, if you know how much stronger I feel now, you realize that when I even thought I was better, I even wasn't. But anyway, so I did the surgery, and I remember my experience with the surgery was just so interesting. I was so scared. I was wondering if I would ever wake up from that surgery and things like that. It was my first major surgery after my C-section. With the C-section, you're kept awake, but with this one, you're put fully asleep. And so I was just scared. Like, I didn't know what was going on. Anyway, cut the long story short, the entire surgery lasted for about 2 hours, I think. But for me, it was like a split second, because all I remember was, I didn't even remember sleeping off. I just remember, the last thing I remember was someone giving me an epidural shot. And then the next thing I remember was them, I just heard a voice saying, "She's waking up." So that's literally how it happened for me. So I definitely do not know anything that happened during the surgery, but I know that I had a surgery. And I woke up and I was taken to the place, the room, to recovery room, to rest and everything. And my mom was with me. And, you know, I really thank God for my mom, because she's just been so, so helpful in many ways. And, you know, God bless her, really. And she's not going to even listen to this, but I just, honestly, I pray for my mother. She has been such a great woman to me. So anyway, so she was there helping and all of that, just helping me recover and stuff. And so I stayed there. You know, there was all the pain, virtually the same type of pain you have when you've had a C-section. That's what I had. And, you know, just feeling, you know, just, I mean, but I was just so happy to be awake again. And I was happy that it had finally been removed. These fibroids that I learned about at the age of 23 finally got removed at the age of 34. 11 years I lived with fibroids, right? 11 years fibroids tormented me. Fibroids made my life a living hell. Fibroids made me hate being a woman, I swear. Like, I hated the fact that I had to even have menstrual periods. I hated everything about the reproductive system in a woman. Fibroids made me not enjoy being a woman, and it had finally gone. So it just was like a new birth for me. It was like I was born again. It's like I was born again. Like, it was like I was a fresh new person. So during my recovery, about 4 to 6 weeks of recovery, obviously I still had the soreness. Even till now, I still have some mild, very, very mild soreness. And this is about 4 or 5 months after the surgery now. But like, I just felt stronger already. I was just, you know, ready to get on with life, ready to have a better life and everything. And I've just been doing everything that the doctors ordered, still taking multivitamins, you know, still taking the pills to control the period, because they kind of want me to kind of really, really recover before I get off the pills. And maybe also they don't want me, I feel like in my head, I think they don't want me to get pregnant again. Yeah, because they know I just had a surgery, so they just indirectly tell you, "Oh no, we want you to recover," but they don't really want you to get pregnant yet, because they don't want you. I mean, you shouldn't get pregnant just after a surgery like that. You really should wait for some time. But anyway, I don't plan on having a child anytime soon anyway, so that's okay. But I can't wait to now right now I feel so much stronger. I look at my hands and my hands look different. And when I say my hands look different, they look red. My hands never looked red before. You know, my hands always looked pale and white. Like my palms, when I say my hand, I'm talking about my palms. They always looked so pale, so white, and I thought that was normal. But now my hands look so nice, so red. I see my veins, you know, I see them looking dark, and literally I am in such a healthy place. And I did another blood work just about 2-3 weeks ago, and the doctor said, oh my god, it's called CBC, blood count, something blood counts, complete blood count. It's normal now. My ferritin levels so much better, in his own words. You know, everything is just way better. I feel so much healthier. I have not had a proper period yet, so I still don't know what my new periods are going to be like. But I, you know, I expect that they will be much better than what they used to be. And yes, I just feel great. I feel like a new person. So this was my experience after, you know, after the baby with the fibroids and with the surgery and all. So if you have problematic fibroids and all of that, do talk to your gynecologist, talk to a doctor about it, make sure, and see what they can do about it. Yes, I know that for some, they can leave it if it's not too problematic. But trust me, you know your body. And so if you feel it's really problematic, really disturb your doctor about it. Let them do something about it. So that's literally all I have to tell you guys today. And I hope that this podcast does help a woman out there, somebody out there somehow, and you know, just, you know, inspires you and lets you know that it's not the end of the world. You, things can change. You can do something about a bad situation. So if you have listened to this point, you are amazing. Thank you so much, and thank you for being here, and please stick with me. You can find my podcasts on Google, Spotify, Apple, Radio US, Castbox, and any other place that you can find your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day. Bye.